If you have school-age children, you know that we've entered into one of the busiest shopping seasons of the year.
Hi, I'm Rob West. It's true, families are gearing up to send kids back to school, and that means a lot of spending. So how can you make the most of yours without going into debt? I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, as you can imagine, it's Christmas in August for many retailers. I checked with the National Retail Federation, and they're saying that back-to-school K through 12 spending will be a bit more than $40 billion this year. And get this, back-to-college spending will be about $94 billion. That's a lot of laptops, futons, and mini fridges for dorm rooms, I would think. Now, obviously, you would want to make the most of your back-to-school dollars, and that's starts with knowing everything you can about sales tax holidays in your state. Deadlines really matter, and it seems like every state has set up different tax holiday periods. In many cases, these are set up as weekend events, but not always. Some may start on Friday and end on Saturday, so you've got to know exactly when your tax holiday starts and stops. In states with a sales tax, this could mean saving anywhere from 2 to 7% right off the bat. Okay, so now you know when to shop, but it's also important to understand just what will be tax-free in your state. NerdWallet has a handy guide for dates and tax-free items by state. We'll put a link to that in today's show notes. The challenge is, there seems to be no rhyme or reason to what individual states have declared tax-free during these holidays. For example, clothing and computers are generally tax-free, and they're big sellers, but accessories for those items may or may not be tax-free, so you may want to purchase some items later when you can get a better deal. And if things weren't complicated enough, some states allow cities and other taxing districts to opt out of these tax-free holidays, so you have to check to make sure stores in your city or town are actually participating. If they're not, you can always drive down the road to shop somewhere else. But do you need to do any driving at all? You may be able to do all of your shopping online. Most states with sales tax holidays allow for tax-free online purchases as long as the items are ordered and paid for during the holiday, even if they're delivered later. So if you don't feel like fighting your way through thousands of other shoppers, check your local store's websites for tax-free items. Of course, major online retailers like Amazon and Walmart also participate in state tax holidays, and they'll automatically deduct sales taxes on eligible purchases, so you may want to check them out too. And if you haven't bought a membership in one of those big warehouse stores yet, now might be the time to do it. A membership might pay for itself in the savings you can get with back-to-school sales, and of course, they're all participating in sales tax holidays. Okay, now for some tips that apply even if you're not shopping during a tax holiday. First, you've got to determine how much you have to spend. That means how much do you have to spend without using a credit card. Then, make a list of everything you have to buy, and your kids' schools have probably given you lists of everything they'll need for the entire year. If you can't make all of those purchases with cash, divide the quantities in half or quarters and purchase only what you can afford now. But what about the tax holiday, you say? I'll have to pay sales tax on the other items I buy later. Well, that's true, but does it make sense to save maybe 5% in sales tax now and then pay 20% or more in credit card interest on those items later? Of course not. So purchase only what you can with cash during the holiday period and then start saving so you can make the rest of your school purchases with cash in the months ahead. I realize there's great pressure to buy everything you need for the entire year at once, especially kids' clothing, but with the average credit card rates now around 22% or higher, you've got to resist the temptation to pull out the plastic. Maybe you can get away with one new outfit or a pair of jeans for now instead of half a closet full. Okay, so you know how much you have to spend and you've pared down your list to what you actually need to purchase. Now you just have to stick to that list. That won't be easy because retailers will bombard you with special promotions and sales. And by the way, some of those items may not even be tax-free. tax exempt during the holiday period, so stick to your list and don't be an impulse shopper. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When Jesus walked this earth, he told a woman at a well that the Father is searching for men and women who would worship him in spirit and in truth. People who will follow his word and go where he calls them. People who would be devoted to his name. In short, the Father is looking for people that can answer his call with the words from Joshua 1:16. All that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. This can only happen in light of Christ, who frees us from our self-centered sinfulness and frees us into the love of the Father. By the Spirit, we can honor Christ wherever we go. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time for your calls and questions today. We've got lines open. I'm ready to dive in. 800-525-7000. Here's what we're looking for. We'd love to know what you're thinking about financially. I'll help you make steps forward with confidence as we apply biblical principles and ideas. You see, we want to live with a biblical worldview in every area of our lives, and that includes this area of money. But we have to recognize, yes, we need financial literacy, and so we want to make wise decisions that deal with the dollars and cents of our money decisions, but we also want to do it in light of Scripture, which really the big idea there is that God owns it all and we're stewards, and money is a tool, but it's also deeply connected to our hearts. The evangelist Billy Graham said that money is most closely connected to a man's heart, probably more than anything else. And that's certainly been my experience as well. And so as we allocate God's resources, we have to look at, what does it say about what we're prioritizing? Are we being too anchored to this world, or are we fixated on the eternal?
And that's really a shift in our perspective, holding God's resources loosely, living appropriately, saving diligently. But again, in light of saying, God, what is enough for me, both in terms of lifestyle and accumulation? We want to live with contentment, and we want to be generous at the same time. How do we balance all of that? Well, we go back to God's Word and pull out the big ideas, themes, and principles that we see in Scripture. We want to help you apply those. So what are you thinking about today? Give us a call. 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we'd love to tackle your financial question today. Let's dive in. We're going to begin in Arkansas today. James, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi there. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I wanted to ask about Social Security. And in March of 2000, I got laid off from the pandemic, and I was laid off for over a year and a half. And I've been back to work for over 2 years. Now, I know that I'm stuck with the rate of that I had to start drawing at 62. And I just wondered, I was told that that since I've been working for the last couple of years, that they would have, that it would increase my benefits a small amount. And I plan on working till I'm 72, which is another 7 years. I'm 65 now. And I just wondered the amount that you can earn per year. Does it goes up at 66 and 8 months? I just wondered, will that go up for me as well?
Yeah, very good. So there's a couple of factors going on here, James. Number one, I certainly understand why you had to begin taking that, because you were out of work and it was a needed source of income. When you did that, you locked in a reduced benefit. So you have the about a 30% reduction. Now, there are basically two ways you can increase that benefit. First way is through a cost of living adjustment, which everybody will get. The second is, as you continue to work, they will check your earnings each year and see if those additional earnings would cause you to increase your monthly benefit, because you're replacing one of your what's called high 35, which is your 35 years of highest earnings. And if you are, then that would increase your benefit. Now, you do have this temporary reduction in the benefits if you earn over a certain threshold, so you have to recognize that. But that will be paid back to you after full retirement age. But as you continue to work, certainly beyond full retirement age, you have the ability to earn an unlimited amount that won't affect your benefits. And again, if you're replacing any of those high 35, you actually could see an increase in that benefit over and above a COLA adjustment, that cost of living adjustment. So a lot of moving pieces there. Does that all make sense?
Yes. Yes, I believe I understand. So after I turn full retirement age, 56, and I...
Oh, I'm losing you there just for a moment, but let's see if we can get you to a clearer signal and try that again. Try to restate that last statement you made.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it looks like we do have some bad reception. Let's put you on hold. We'll see if our team can get that line cleared up with you. But yeah, bottom line here, James, is that the Social Security Administration does review wages each year. And if your latest year of earnings is one of your highest years and replaces a year that was lower among the highest of your 35 years of earnings, then they recalculate your benefit and pay you an increase that you are due. Let's try one more time. Does that all make sense?
Yes. Yes, okay, I appreciate that very much. Thank you for your assistance.
Absolutely, James. God bless you, sir, and we appreciate you being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever you're thinking about financially, whether it's Social Security like James, maybe it's your investments in retirement, your spending plan, debt repayment, your giving, whatever it might be. We'd love to tackle it with you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. A quick news item today. This is just coming out, the rating agency Fitch has downgraded U.S. credit for the second time in the nation's history this week. Fitch lowered the country's credit rating from AAA, the highest, to AA+. The ratings downgrade comes months after the federal stalemate delayed the debt ceiling agreement until days before it was the U.S. was expected to lose its ability to pay outstanding financial obligations. Analysts downplayed the immediate economic effect of this rating decisions. Markets are really shrugging this off. The Dow closed maybe 350 points lower in Wednesday trading. The S&P was down about 1%. If we look to what some famous investors are saying, Warren Buffett, who might be the most famous, is also not worried about it. Warren recently just bought through Berkshire Hathaway $10 billion in U.S. Treasuries. And he said Berkshire bought $10 billion in U.S. Treasuries last Monday. The only question for next Monday is whether we'll buy $10 billion in 3 month or 6 month T-bills. He says, you know, there's things we need to worry about and there's things that we shouldn't worry about. This is one of those that we shouldn't worry about. He goes on to say the dollar is the reserve currency of the world and everybody knows it. So at least one very famous investor saying this Fitch downgrade probably pretty insignificant, but something we'll certainly keep an eye on. All right, back to the phones we go. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling from Alabama. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I enjoy your show, and I'm learning a lot from listening to you. I do have a couple of questions just to kind of help me piece it all together. Is I'm in my 60s. I'm work, love my job. My husband does as well, so we're not really looking at retirement in the next few years. But we certainly want to be prepared when we get to that point. So have you written a book about retirement and about investing so I can learn more about it?
Yeah, I have not, although that's on the in the plans, but I've got a couple that I'd love to send you. I want to send you a book on retirement from a biblical perspective that I think will help you. It's called The New Retirementality from Mitch Anthony, and then I'll send you The Sound Mind Investing Handbook, which will be a biblical view of investing. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. I'll get those both right out to you. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today with lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. You know, when it's time to retire, our previous caller was just asking about retirement, you'll probably need to start withdrawing money for living expenses. Most folks do. You might think, though, it's as simple as cashing out an IRA or pulling money from your savings account, but that's not necessarily true. Setting up retirement withdrawals can be tricky, especially if you have different kinds of accounts, different buckets of retirement assets. If you don't withdraw your money in the right order, you could end up with a bigger tax bill than necessary. Remember, traditional IRA withdrawals are taxed as regular income, while Roth IRAs usually don't trigger a tax bill. And when you cash in non-retirement investments, you may pay capital gains. And so when we look at the recommendations for retirees on how to pull out your investments, typically professionals will tell you that you want to liquidate your non-retirement investments first, then use traditional IRA money, and finally, Roth IRA accounts. This gives you the ability to maximize time to accumulate compound interest in those tax-deferred retirement accounts. I'll expand on that in just a moment because this is a question we get quite often. How should I approach withdrawing money in retirement? And if I have different types of accounts, does one come before the other? Typically, we go non-retirement assets, then traditional IRA, then Roth. But I'll expand on that in just a moment. Phone lines are open today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. Let's see. To Texas. Hi, Tom. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. Needing to know what's the least amount it would take to fund a trust, and need to know the best way to keep it live.
Yes, sir. So tell me what assets you would be looking to put into that trust.
What would be the minimum amount? Would it take more than $1 million or less?
Oh, no. No, sir. Yeah, there really isn't a minimum. You would just want to make sure that, you know, there's enough there to make it worth your while. But really, the key is everybody needs an estate plan, and you need to decide, is the best option for you to carry out your wishes a basic will or a revocable trust? But there is no minimum amount for establishing the revocable trust at all. You could create it with nothing in it. It really, you know, doesn't go into effect, though, until you move, you know, at least something in there. But you don't have to. There's not a minimum. So then we can step back and say, okay, what are the pros and cons of having a revocable trust versus, let's say, a will? The main benefits of the revocable trust is, first, it avoids probate, which can be expensive and time consuming. We've heard from a lot of folks where, you know, things are tied up in the probate court and it just takes time to get assets like real estate or, you know, cash, things like that, to the heirs that you want to have them, because you have to wait for the probate court to, you know, process everything. So putting it in a revocable living trust means you won't be subject to probate, and therefore the trustee could distribute the assets very quickly. It protects your privacy, so it's not a part of the public record. It also allows for assets to be handled in the case of an incapacitation. So whereas a will only goes into effect at death, with a trust if someone becomes chronically ill or disabled, making it difficult to happen, you know, to act on their own behalf. It can result in a guardianship or a conservatorship that takes control of your assets. Well, a revocable living trust allows you to instead select that successor trustee, the person you name, either an individual or a corporation, and they would assume then control of your assets should you become incapacitated, and it allows you to outline how those assets should be administered. Now, it's a little more expensive than just writing a basic will. You might spend a couple of $1,000s on a trust, whereas a will might be, let's say, $500, doesn't offer you any tax benefits, doesn't protect you from creditors. But if you're looking to have a successor trustee handle assets prior to death in your incapacitation or after death, meaning you don't want everything distributed right away. You'd want it to happen over time based on the trust documents, or you don't want to go through probate or you want more privacy. That's where a trust could make a lot of sense. And again, there is no minimum. If you don't need those things and those aren't a real concern to you, then a basic will would be a little simpler and more cost-effective way, at least initially, you know, to take care of your estate plans. But give me your questions or thoughts on that, Tom.
It all sounds interesting and be something good to do, I think.
Yeah.
Is there any, the amount that they that could be drawn out of that from the beneficiary, is it limited or is it any amount?
No, sir, any amount. So it all could be distributed at one time at your death. It could be distributed over time. If you selected heirs that you wanted to receive the proceeds of the trust, you know, the payout over time, you know, at certain ages or based on a monthly schedule of income that's distributed as opposed to a lump sum, you can do that. So you really have complete control. It's just a matter of how you want your assets distributed by the trustee, either when you're not able to or after your death at some point in the future. But you could do it all at once or you can take your time with it. So I think your next step, Tom, is to find a godly estate planning attorney. If you don't have one already, you could reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor in your area on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. And you could contact a certified Kingdom advisor and ask for a referral to a godly estate planning attorney. They'll all have one that they work with, and that will allow you to connect with somebody who could explain a bit more about it, give you the breakdown on the cost. And then once the trust is created, then it's a matter of retitling, you know, whatever assets you want to put inside the trust in the name of the trust. And they can talk to you about that as well. So this may be exactly what you're looking for, sir. I hope that helps you. And thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. We've got some lines open. We'll be taking more of your questions right after this break. 800-525-7000. Call right now, 800-525-7000.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Take a time out in the corner.
Refuse to allow anything, whether they be relationships, whether they be friends and family members, whether they be a Supreme Court refusing to hear a case, whether they be any election results, no matter what it is, refuse to allow those things to eclipse the preeminence of Christ in your life.
The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR. The podcast is available anytime at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
45,000.
That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thrilled to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. I've got a couple of lines open for your questions today. No matter what it is, it could be your investments, but it also could be how you get out from under that credit card debt once and for all. Maybe it's your credit score, wanting to know how to get that score up. Or maybe it's just, what are the rules for borrowing? When is the right time to borrow? And how should you look to pay off your debt over time? We can tackle anything you're thinking about today. 800-525-7000. Let's go to South Carolina. Hi, Tina. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Rob. My question is, I have a rollover IRA from a previous employer that I've managed for a good many years. I have it set up with some stocks, some CDs, and some mutual funds. I'm wondering of late, it's not being contributed to, hadn't been for years, and it's 50% cash. Okay. We are very, very conservative. Yes, but I'm wondering if I should go more to an income portfolio rather than growth and income at this point, so yes, that the income could go back into the portfolio.
Yes, ma'am. I like income-generating investments, especially in this season of life, a lot. Let me just make sure I understand what you've got here. Is this still inside the 401k, or you've already moved it to an IRA?
It's been moved to an IRA. It has been for years.
Okay, very good. And are you all selecting the investments yourself, or do you have somebody doing that for you?
I'm doing it.
Okay, very good. And you said you've got about half of it in stocks and about half of it in cash. Is that right?
Yeah, half of it is in stocks, CDs, and mutual funds.
Okay, very good. And so you've got some individual stocks. Would you say if you look at the mutual funds that you've got plus the stocks, you believe that they're more oriented toward growth type stocks? Is that right?
Pretty much. There are some that I've selected that were growth and income.
Okay.
I'm having the income go into cash at this point.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I like you having an allocation to an income portfolio. I think there's also a place for a growth portion of this. So, I always like to start with what is the right allocation among asset classes. So how much do we want in stocks? How much do we want in fixed income type investments, meaning bonds typically, but also you mentioned CDs, and that's fine too, especially right now. Do we want anything in the precious metals? We could talk about that. But, typically I would say in this season of life, what is your age, Tina, if you don't mind me asking?
59, okay. And looking to retire in about 3.5 to 4 years.
All right. And would you all start drawing an income from this at retirement, or would this be able to just continue to grow?
I'm hoping that it will be able to continue to grow, because when I retire, I will have a retirement from where I work, as well as a supplement until I'm 62. I work for the Postal Service.
Okay, very good.
So typically
what I would say at this in this season, especially since you're not planning to draw from this, I'd probably be looking at having maybe 45% in stocks, maybe 45% in fixed income type investments, and 10% in precious metals. You could do all of that with mutual funds and ETFs, or you could have in some individual stocks. For that portion, let's say you did that, for that portion that was 45% in stocks, I'd like for you to have probably at least maybe a third to a half of that in growth-oriented stocks, just because, you know, what we've seen in the last decade is that growth stocks typically outperform, and the tech sector is still red hot. I mean, a lot of the artificial intelligence is driving that sector, is, you know, kind of the new era of what used to be .com is now AI. And, you know, so we're seeing whenever the market has strength, we're often seeing, depending on the cycle, that it's largely driven by those, you know, high growth, large mega cap stocks. And so I'd hate for you to move out of that entirely, which is why I think you having somewhere between a third and a half of that stock portion, that 45% in my example, in those growth-oriented stocks would be good. But then I'd certainly have the balance in some that lean more toward the dividend-paying, high, you know, yield type income equities, whether it's through mutual funds or individual stocks. I like you having an allocation to precious metals. You could do that through one of the ETFs, the trackers. You could just put a gold tracker in there like GLD or one of the others. And then I like the balance of it in fixed income. Keep in mind, as we start to see interest rates come down, Tina, bonds are going to do very well because we've already got the high yields. And as the interest rates fall, and they will probably later this year or certainly next year, the prices of those bonds, be it corporate or government, will increase. And that would give you some nice growth. So I think just based on what you've got here, that would be my best recommendation. But what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, that sounds good. I'm a little leery of the precious metals.
Okay.
Other than that, it sounds good. Like I say, I was just wondering, I do have a mixture. I generally try and grab those that are growth and income type stocks to allow for both. And I do have a fair amount of fixed income also. I just didn't know if I needed to go ahead and start moving more towards the completely towards a fixed income, getting more of that than growth.
I think this is the time to do that, absolutely, because you're going to start to see, whereas these bonds have been out of favor, you're going to see an environment where it's much more favorable in moving forward. So hopefully that helps you, Tina. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. May the Lord bless you. To Arkansas. Hi, Kim. How can I help you?
Hello, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. My husband and I have an irrevocable trust, and I've heard you mention revocable trust multiple times, but I guess now I'm wondering, did we make a mistake having the irrevocable? Should we switch it over to a revocable trust, and why? What would be the benefit?
Yeah. Well, first thing would be to make sure that you do, in fact, have an irrevocable trust, because they're less commonly used in estate planning than revocable trusts because of their inflexibility. If you, in fact, have an irrevocable trust, you lose control over those assets, so you wouldn't be able to convert it, once the assets are placed in the irrevocable trust. They're typically used by high net worth people, very wealthy folks who are trying to minimize estate taxes and avoid certain creditor claims. You would want to consider an irrevocable trust, which the very term there, irrevocable, means it's not able to be taken back. But if the value of your assets is higher than the federal estate tax exemption, you want to avoid state taxes. If you're comfortable giving up the use and control of your assets
after you establish the trust and you want to protect yourself from future creditors. Those would be the reasons that you'd want to look at that. But I think your first step here, Kim, is to make sure you do in fact have an irrevocable trust. You may, you know, not realize that you have a revocable one. You just didn't know it. What are your thoughts, though?
Well, I know for sure it is irrevocable because when you were talking about it, I looked.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so you wouldn't be able to make that change. And so I would just, you know, talk to your estate planning attorney about why you did that and, you know, get any additional insights with regard to your plans. Stay on the line. I've got to take a quick break. We can talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
Abraham stands out as one of the greatest heroes in all of Scripture, not because of his perfect choices, but because of his unwavering faith. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress begins a brand new study of the life of Abraham. As we examine this remarkable man, we'll discover what it truly means to walk by faith. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open here in our final segment for your financial questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Just before the break, we were talking to Kim about an irrevocable trust. There is maybe an exception, Kim, that I would, if you wanted to make a change there, as long as you would be able to get written consent from the settlor and the beneficiaries, a court could allow a modification to an irrevocable trust. So if there was a reason to try to make that change, again, it's not simple like it is with an irrevocable trust, but there could be the potential for a change if the court gets involved and allows you to do that with everybody kind of signing off on those changes that you'd like to make. So you could certainly talk to the estate planning attorney about that, whether there's a reason to make that change and pursue a legal course of action to essentially break that trust. We appreciate your call, though, today. Again, 800-525-7000. I've got room for a few more questions today before we round out the program. Give us a call. To Louisiana. Hi, Violet. Go right ahead.
An $8,500 annuity that I've had for about 20 years and it's earning 3% interest. I'm 75, so I have to take out a little bit each year. I have not been contributing to it for the past 10 years. So I wondered if I should leave it there or if there, if I should transfer it to some other investment.
Yeah, I mean, because of how long you've had it, you should be able to pull it out or roll it out if it's a if the money went in pre-tax to an IRA, and then do a little better on that. I mean, you're only getting 3%. We could get, you know, you could get 5.5% right now in a CD. So I think there's an option there to look at either increasing that, and if you wanted to keep it in an insurance product, You could look at, getting a different annuity that you'd roll it into. You could roll it out to an IRA and then invest it and use fixed income type investments, be it guaranteed investments like a CD or something where you might take a little more risk, like with bonds, to try to improve your situation just in terms of the overall return. But I think it's probably worth looking at just given how low the guaranteed rate is and how long you've had it, which means you're beyond the surrender penalties.
Right, I am. All right, so it'd be better to put it in a CD than into gold or silver?
That's up to you. The nice thing about a CD is you actually generate some income. With gold, there's no income generation, and so you're just counting on the overall appreciation of the precious metal. And, gold has run up, but it's not really done much as of late. And, gold and silver don't typically perform as well as a stock and bond portfolio and have a little more volatility. So I like you getting something that's income generating, whether that's a CD or maybe some high quality government or corporate bonds would probably be my choice over taking 100% of this and putting it into precious metals.
So a high quality government bond, you think, would be better than a CD?
Yeah, a bond portfolio I think would do well for you here on this amount of money. It's certainly not guaranteed, but as interest rates come down, the bond prices are going to go up, which is why, we're coming into an environment here where bonds are going to be pretty favorable.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Violet. Thank you for calling today. God bless you. We've got a few lines open today, 800-525-7000. Before we round out the program, maybe room for one or two more questions. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. In a previous segment today, I was talking about the order of withdrawing money in retirement. Often folks enter this season of life having several account types, maybe different buckets or baskets, if you will, of retirement assets, some tax deferred, some tax free, like a Roth IRA, and some non-retirement investments where there would be capital gains due upon the sale. And I was mentioning we get a lot of questions about the order of withdrawal. Typically, you want to try to pull or liquidate non-retirement assets first, then use traditional IRA money, and then finally Roth IRA money, and give those retirement accounts maximum time to accumulate compound interest. Another suggestion: before you retire, set up an account in a money market fund with a broker, a bank, or an investment company. And therefore, in retirement, you can draw a year's worth or less of expenses into the money market fund rather than trying to transfer money from your investments directly to your bank account each time you need it. And this is kind of like dollar cost averaging in reverse. It just helps you smooth out the effects of the market changes. Any other income streams like Social Security can be directed to the money market fund, and you can move money easily from the money market fund to your bank account to pay your monthly expenses or even get check writing privileges on the money market itself. If you can delay withdrawing from your taxable IRA accounts until the required minimum kicks in, the RMD. And by the way, if you're not familiar with this, a new law just passed recently that raised this required minimum distribution age from 72 to 75 for people born after 1960. So this would allow your accounts to continue earning interest as long as possible. Now, once you do start taking the RMD, you can use it to pay expenses or invest in a taxable account. If you don't need your RMD for expenses, consider rolling some of your traditional IRA money into a Roth, which isn't subject to RMDs, or you could use what's called a qualified charitable distribution. It's one of my favorite tools in this season of life, where essentially, after the age of 70 and a half, you have the ability to transfer money from a traditional IRA directly to your church or a ministry or charity through a qualified charitable distribution. Here's the beautiful part of that. It doesn't get added to your taxable income, so you don't pay tax on it when it comes out, and it satisfies the RMD, the required minimum. So your church or favorite charity gets the full amount of that qualified charitable distribution. You satisfy your RMD, and if you didn't need the money anyway, why pay tax on it and just let it sit in your checking account? You could also use it to replace giving you were going to do out of cash, out of savings. And so then you're not pulling any money out of savings. You're getting that money out of the IRA without any taxes, and you're blessing your favorite ministry or charity at the same time. So I hope that helps you as you think about the order of withdrawing retirement assets. All right, let's round out the program today. Heading back to the phones to Alabama. Hi, Sharon. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob. My house is paid for, but I do carry insurance. But I wondered what you thought about me dropping my hurricane insurance. I have two premiums, one for hurricane and one for all other wind and hail. And with my hurricane coverage, I have a 5% deductible, which is $10,175. And I'm thinking I could just be self-insured for that. I replaced my roof with a fortified roof 3 years ago, and that's about how much it cost. And I can't think of what could happen to my house other than having to replace the roof completely. Yeah. So what do you think about me dropping the hurricane coverage?
Yeah, how close are you to the water?
Probably 50, well, maybe 30 miles.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm always hesitant, Sharon, to drop this kind of coverage. I realize the deductible is high, but, you know, you unless you can replace the entire house with the money you know, that you have, I'd be leery to do that. I mean, I grew up right near the ocean there in South Florida, and so I've seen what hurricanes can do. You know, I lived through the big one that hit in Miami there, Andrew, and several others. And so I just think being able to have this kind of coverage to offset a catastrophic risk like a potential a hurricane, which could go well beyond a roof, I would just be really hesitant to drop that. You know, folks in Florida, a lot of them can't even get coverage these days. And I think if you've got one, even with that high deductible, I understand why you're questioning that, but the damage could go well beyond that roof. And in that case, you'd be really glad you had it.
Okay. Well, I'm not in any danger of flood.
Okay. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, depending on what size of hurricane it is and where it hits, it could destroy the whole home. So
I see.
Yeah, and that's
okay.
Where just having that protection, I think, will give you some added peace of mind. You're very welcome, Sharon. God bless you, and we hope a hurricane doesn't come anywhere near you. We appreciate you being on the program today.
We do fairly frequently. Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. All right, to Kentucky. Hi, Martha. How can I help you today?
Hi. Well, I was wondering if... my husband and I have four CDs. They're about $100,000 a piece, and we get about $5,000 in retirement each month. Is there anything wrong with having four CDs?
No, not at all. Typically, we see that with folks doing what's called a CD ladder, which is where they're stacking CDs. So let's say you might put one in 6 months, one in a year, one in 18 months, and one in 2 years. And then every 6 months, you've got one coming due. And every time it comes due, you can push it out for another 2 years and get the higher rate. But it creates that ladder effect. So I like that a lot. I wouldn't have all these in one bank if they're in the same title, like if they're all jointly titled. You're only going to get $250,000 in coverage, and so you'd probably want to have two of the CDs at one bank and two in another, unless you were to have different titles, like ones or two of them are titled in your name only, and then two of them jointly titled. Then you could get, you know, $250,000 twice. But apart from that, I think having four CDs, especially if you're laddering them to maximize the return and smooth out the liquidity, I think that can make a lot of sense. So I like it, Martha, and this is a great environment. You're getting hopefully a really good yield. If you want to look for when one comes due, you want to check the yields, go to bankrate.com. That'll be the way to find the probably online bank that has the very best rate right now. Thanks for calling today. That's going to do it for us today, folks. So thankful for Robert Youngblood, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do this without them. Thank you for being here as well. Go out and serve Jesus, manage his money wisely, hold it loosely, and give it generously. We'll see you next time on Faith and Finance. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.